Okay, who are you and where are we?
I'm Alex Troughton from Archibald Cycles, and we're down at Sea Otter in Monterey.
So you were just telling me about big changes in your operation. We've talked before, there's a recording somewhere on my site, but like, what's going on that you were just talking about?
Yeah, we've moved our facilities out of Mum's Garage and into a 2,000 square foot shop now. We're starting to get machine tools. We've got an old Moriseki SL1A lathe set up and running. The welding's all set up
now. Is that the good one, the one I've discussed about being the ultimate frame builder lathe?
Not quite.
Okay.
It's a bit more compact, and it's good for small parts, not so good for tubes.
You don't have a 3-inch through?
No, we do not. We have just enough to fit a down tube through.
Okay, that's so. Well, I mean, for modern bikes, that's around 2 inches, right?
Yeah, so
we can. So how's that affecting you? I mean, you've been at this for a while, and your bikes have been getting a little bit more press. I'm seeing them a little bit more out there in media, and like, you're definitely doing something different that's aligned with this gearbox thing that everybody's all hyped on right now. So what's your take on what's in your zeitgeist?
Yeah, it's been an incredible transition to have a real space to do this. We ended up selling way more bikes than expected last year, especially with the state of the industry, and it just meant we had to grow. So we've been, as quickly as we can bring our guys on full time, trying to transition to that. And this whole gearbox movement and belt drive movement, very convenient timing for me.
Yeah, it's really good. You're right there.
Yeah, it's like it was cool 5-6 years ago, and now it's really, really cool. And
right.
It's a great timing, and people love the bikes, and we seem to be in a value position that's actually pretty competitive.
How many people are working with you, or do you have full-time or part-time? What's that working out for you?
Yeah, it's pretty much me double time, and then I've got a guy coming on full-time right when we get back, and then I've got about 6 guys that are part-time.
And you're in Vancouver, so it's like city kids that are, or, you know, like, who are these people that are working for you? Because the shift from a guy in his garage to an employer, or the spot where people go after work for beer or whatever, like, that's a big change. And it's like, how does that look on your end?
Yeah, it's been pretty interesting, and luckily I had a few guys working for me in Mum's garage. That got a little interesting with the bathroom, but you know, we made do, and it was 150 square feet, and there would be 3 of us in there at times, and it started to get pretty tight.
That's really tight.
Yeah, so just having this space has been massive, and we've got extra space right now until the machines are set up, so the guys love it. They can leave their car in there and whatever.
Oh, so you have a full drive-in and everything.
That's right.
And this is in the city or on the outskirts? Where's, like, are you around a lot of people that are doing cool, interesting stuff, or is it a lot, are you near a lot of bakeries and hydraulic suppliers?
Yeah, we're in Queensboro, which is about 30 minutes from the North Shore, so we're kind of just southeast of Vancouver. It's right near the highway, so it's easy to get to, and we've got a bunch of cool Japanese mechanics in the row and people doing neat stuff. We've got an old Randy Cunningham, who is other Cunningham Cycles, was also building bikes, and he's our neighbor right across from us.
Okay, so there's a little clatch of people there.
That's right, yeah.
So I talked to you at MADE, I think, 2 years ago, and now you're sitting here, and there's a bimodal attached, and there's a battery pack, and there's your typical stuff. Where are you going right now with your design? What are the parts you're trying to change, or where's that looking for you in terms of development?
Yeah, the biggest thing is just being spending time furthering our fixturing so that we can offer more options. So right as we get back, we're finishing a bike for a special YouTuber that's going to be a full 29er, and then we could change our chainstay lengths going forward, and just developing that so that we have more options and can suit all of the things effectively. Previously, it was kind of, we could do one-offs, but going forward, it's going to be even better for us
nice
to do back
flexible fixturing that really works.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm trying to remember, but I think you had some frame fixturing that was a little analogous to what I've been doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, are you taking that in different directions? Is there something I need to know about your fixturing that would help me out now?
Right. I would say my fixturing does lean very production heavy, so our adjustments are only in specific points where, okay, we have an A or a B setting. It doesn't need to be a range because, well,
right,
they're just a production frame.
Sure.
So we know what they are, and if we're happy with it, then we can leave it as an A or B. You know, in the future, in some spots, like, we're going to move to have have a few more of those positions, right? We may add separate plates for if we really need something different.
Right.
So that helps us because there's just way less to set up. So every time we do a bike, it's just two adjustments and we're there. And on the fringe case, you might have a third adjustment to make, right? So keep things flowing.
So you're, like, I mean, people maybe look at my website and they think, why the hell does he talk so much about tools? Or why is he so much doing this math and or modeling or whatever? And, you know, it's kind of like your world. It's like, you can make one bike. That's a thing.
Yeah.
But making a lot of bikes, everything starts changing.
It does.
And it sounds like for the foreseeable future, what you're doing is all that stuff nobody sees, other than maybe the quality of the product improves.
That's right.
Over time, or it just, you can deliver faster.
That's right.
And that kind of stuff.
Yeah, those are both things that we plan to just continually improve. If you, sure, you could see it on our gussets, from this is one of the newer bikes to some of our older bikes, things have just continually been refined. But getting that timing faster and faster is super key. Our last frame, we did a complete, from tubes and pieces spare on the table to complete bike in 6 hours. So we had a guy come by, do it all on video in one day.
Uh-huh.
So we're getting a lot faster with this stuff, but there's more room to go.
Yeah, and you have a lot of fiddly bits going on, like more than, say, a four-tube front. You've got a few more.
Yeah, but luckily, most of our stuff that's complex, we do in a batch, so we'll set all the parts up and we'll just production line it on with, get one guy fitting, one guy welding, and we can burn through all of that stuff really quickly.
So in terms of the artifact, the bicycle itself, what is maybe something you'd like to focus on once you get done with some of this infrastructure stuff?
Yeah, there's definitely further developing the belt drive system is kind of an immediate goal, and some of that is just refinements to how we're running tension, how we're running belt keeping, and just improvements that are based on things we've seen after months and months and months of testing. That just,
so you didn't initially have belt, did you? Were you a chain at first and then you switched to belt?
Getting a hold of the belt parts and the drawings associated with them has been a pretty slow process. We've been working on it for about 18 months and now have parts to show. We did have to run some self-made prototype belt parts early on, which actually worked fine, but we can't really sell them.
As someone who's never worked with belts, even as a technician, what if I was going to start working with belts, what are a couple things you'd kind of point me to that would save me a lot of heartache and sorrow?
Yeah, the people at Gates do have some pretty great software. So the Gates Design IQ software can really sort out just about all of it. But yeah, definitely the getting enough tension into the system. If you can use one of their off-the-shelf ones, that's the way to go.
Have you seen issues with low-end hubs exploding due to belt tension?
We haven't killed them with belts, but on chains we have definitely over-flexed some.
Oh, in terms of structure in the system.
Yeah, we've flexed some cheap hubs to death.
Uh-huh. Because like when belts first came out, it was like, well, if you don't have a high-end hub that's capable of that kind of tension load,
yeah,
that it exhibits, you're just going to roach through those things. And I figured that's we're in a world where a lot more people have high-end hubs than,
that's right,
say back in 2008 or 2007,
yeah,
when they might have come out, where there was a lot of low-end shit out there.
Yeah.
Now everything's high-end, it seems.
Exactly, and the builds we sell are just that. We don't really offer the lower end options. We do offer to just let you provide your own part in place of these things, but feels right to me to sell a quality wheel set with a quality hub.
Sure.
Customers just won't have problems that way.
Right.
It's better just to offer those things.
Actually, you just mentioned wheel set, and I'm looking at those wheels. Those are those SRAM rims, aren't they?
I didn't. This is actually a custom.
Oh, bike. Really? Because
yeah.
I'm so jealous of those rims. They look so sick.
They do look good. They do.
Like, they're right up my alley. I hate that deep dish shit. I want flexi. All right. Thank you very much for talking with me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks very much.